All righty, you and me on the radio till noon time today. We are now stepping into a cleanup batter. No. We're talking to all four candidates for mayor of the city of Attleboro. With me now is Timothy Barone. Timothy is brandy new. I've only just met him during the break, and we're going to find out about him together. First of all, thanks for being here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, well, it took a while to get a hold of you.
Well, I always believe that if you want something done, you got to give it to a busy person. So I'm running around getting a lot done, and I appreciate the calls, and I'm glad I could get in today.
Okay, so I don't know anything about you. First of all, why do you want to be mayor? What I heard something about a parking problem. What?
Well, yeah, this summer I put our business in the center of town because I thought it was great rates.
What business is that?
Well, it's actually I work with the House of De Savoia, which is the oldest royalty in Europe. And we just do charities. We also do self-betterment programs and anything of the sort that goes through that family and my family, the Baronis. And we have a second floor office right in the center of Attleboro. Great rates and everything. And I checked on the cost of everything. And then a month later.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, sure.
I still don't know what you do. What is your business? What do you do?
Well, like I said, we have 20 self-betterment programs.
Self what?
Betterment, self-betterment. So people
like?
How to deal with tweens, how to improve relationships, how to fix a marriage.
Okay, and you do this for groups or couples or?
With individuals. What? Everyone's on a check sheet. So everyone can come in one day and they start doing their check sheet. And someone could come in a week later, and they'd start their check sheet, which means there's like 40 things to read.
All right, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to have base.
Yeah.
So you have a place in Attleboro.
Right. And like I said, when I checked the cost of everything, I checked out the parking a month later, about 2 months later, the parking went up 67% on one day. And I was like, I could afford that, but it wasn't figured into our budget. And I talked to all the people in the parking garage, and a lot of them were on fixed incomes and lived next door, and the only place they could park was a parking garage. So I went to Mayor Herro. He said, well, you should run for something and maybe sue the city. And he said, also go to the Committee on the Whole, which is an open forum to talk to the council. And I did do that, and you can find that, I think, July 19th last summer.
Okay.
On video double access and near the end, about minute 53 or so. And all the council seemed very positive about it. Even Jay DeLisio said, I'll talk to the mayor and see if we can push it off to January. The idea I put to Mayor Herro was if it's something they'd forgotten to do for 17 years, I was just told, oh, we forgot to raise the rates, so we're doing it all in one day, is do it over 5 years, which might have been more annoying. And the other thing that I was really concerned about is I was told by the finance department at City Hall, he's like, don't worry, we won't raise it that much next year. It means they're planning to raise it more next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's scaring away small businesses. If you can't budget and then all of a sudden you blow your margin on parking, then it's like, why come to Center of Attleboro?
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, so that's what motivated you.
Right.
Okay. I've been asking everybody this morning, what have you learned so far in running?
Well, I mean, I think the other three candidates are great, and one thing I'd really like to say is I'd really love them to be in my administration. I mean, the two of them would already be in the city council, so you wouldn't lose them. And I think the role of mayor is basically a visionary, the person who outflows, who gets the people together, the smarter people in the room, as John mentioned earlier, to do what they do best. And the fact that Kathleen's already working on many projects, and Jay DeLisio is working on many projects. I just think some of the core values have to be reined in a little bit. Like when I went to City Hall and talking about, oh, inflation's always got to go up. And I mentioned at the debate that I try and read a lot as much as I can. And I think readers are leaders. There's a guy named Robert Kiyosaki. He said, no, inflation, if you manage money correctly, should go down. Product and services prices should go down. So when they raised the parking rates, I went and requested they reduced it below what it was before. You know, it's not always possible, but that's the goal we should be going for. Product and services should be costing less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And are there some other issues that you're also interested in the city that you think should be, is this the prime?
Well, one of the things I'm really involved with is a program called Truth About Drugs. And they're talking about putting more money into all these programs. And if you don't have the right information of how to get someone out of that condition, then more money isn't going to fix anything. Because we talked about that, more money in schools, more money for money health, But like I said, this Truth About Drugs says, and I mentioned it at the debate, there's 18 booklets that they put out for every single drug there possibly can be, from marijuana to just everything, to abuse of Ritalin, that if folks using that knows what it's going to do to them, they won't do it. Or there's a greater chance that they won't do it.
Now, I didn't ask about your educational background.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mentioned, and I have a mentor who kind of said, oh, you talk too much about the schools you went to. But I went to all the schools in Attleboro, from nursery school of little folks to the thing on West Street, to Willett, to Brennan Middle School, to Bishop Fan, which is great. My grandfather actually helped found the land with the bishop, like in the 60s. A lot of my family's gone through, my cousins. My uncle and godfather was on the chairman of the board there. And then I went to Providence College. And then after that, I studied at BU. I took more classes. I think people should keep taking classes and keep learning. Although at this point, I do. I think you can get a lot out of college, but the fact that they're charging so much for these things, you can't pay back your loans. I think it's not to be a mean word, but it's kind of a scam now. Unless you go through and really know what to do. Because I worked with a girl named Morgan Zegar. She ran for representative in New York because she didn't like the Cuomo brothers. She got her schooling done in 3 years, and they actually banned it. So she saved a year's worth of tuition, and that school in Washington, D.C. said, oh, no, you have to do 4 years because we're going to have to get paid for all those 4 years. You know, it used to be able that you could work and pay off your bills, and you'd be free and clear, and people are pushing off all these, like, buying a house, starting a family because they're under these massive loans.
Yeah.
So I kind of went off there. But
now, let me go back to the drug thing for a minute.
Sure.
Do you think we should be legalizing all drugs?
At this point, I'd say no, because I think there'd be such a massive explosion of sales. And I had an issue when I had an apartment for Boston University, like before the pandemic. Best apartment ever. I was taking classes, doing this, and then 2 weeks in, a guy who smokes weed, like left, right, and center, moved in the next week on a separate lease. So I had no say with him, and we were fighting the whole time. And I even talked to the local police officer. I'm like, "What can you do?" He's like, "Worst thing they did was legalize it, because like we used to, you know, if you have a person doing all these drugs that's affecting other people, you can't move them, or it makes it more difficult." I eventually did take him to court, and he had to move. He got evicted because you can't do drugs, still federal law. I wouldn't go house to house stopping people, but if it's in my space, they shouldn't be doing it. It's affecting other people. That's what I mean. It could really make it difficult to rein it in. Like I said, I'd rather go the informational approach, the educational approach, that most people won't do it if they really know what it does to them. Most, I think, rehab drug dealers say they would have said anything to sell more drugs. Like they say, oh, Brad Pitt does it and Steve Jobs. I'm like, really, you don't think they just got paid or somehow, you know? That's a little conspiracy theory, but unless you know them personally, I wouldn't advocate that that's the reason why people should be doing these mind-altering drugs. So, like, not to go off on another tangent, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, that's right. But you're here for a tangent.
Right, yeah.
Or oranges, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, so your dealings now with the self-improvement, do you yourself, are you a counselor? Is that what you do?
Yeah. To do the counseling, you have to be ordained as a minister. So I'm a minister, and so people can tell me.
Do what counseling? Ordained as what minister? Where?
Well, I'm a Roman Catholic, so I'm part of the church there. But also, I've taken classes out in LA, and it's controversial, but it was Scientological.
Scientology.
You know, me and Tom Cruise are best buddies.
So you're a Scientologist,
right? On top, who practices that? And these courses are pretty much they're just spiritual. They're not trying to get you into anything or do anything. It's just like, solve the problem. Are you having trouble with your tweens? Are you having trouble in your marriage? Can you fix that?
But these things are primarily from a Scientology perspective.
Right, exactly. Because I found, like I said, over the summer, I mentioned at the debates that I went to both the GOP convention summit in Springfield. And then 2 weeks later, I went to the Democratic convention. I had folks on both sides, how could you do that? I'd throw up. I can't stand them. And I said, I want to hear all the good ideas, anything that works, you know, and sometimes in the controlled media, stuff that gets attacked actually works. So I found this stuff works without getting into the later gist of it. If you could do a simple little course, like, you have a problem with your kid, how can you get more communication between you and them? And that's why we offer these courses in the center of Attleboro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the name of the place is?
Well, the sign is listed, the house is a Savoia, because I found, if you do research, like I said, they're the oldest royalty, and I work with them. The prince is coming out, has come out to L.A. and Boston a bunch, if you've ever heard of the House of the Savoia family, the oldest royalty in Europe. They did have a problem.
Were they Scientologists?
Not that I know of.
No.
Not that I know of. I've worked with there's a guy in L.A. that has the prince come out and do a lot of charities out there, and...
How does he do charities out there?
Oh, well, I mean, they'll do like big fundraisers where you get to shake hands with it's Umberto III or something, and his daughter is the crown prince. Now, they don't actually hold office in Italy because of the whole World War II thing. They were...
Yeah, that gets in the way of that World War II.
Gets in the weeds, but they're still considered royalty. Yeah. And I just found they do the best for their folks. And I think also, as a side thing, is that the Windsors are great, but now that the Queen is gone, I think other folks are going to step into the role. I don't think Charles is as charismatic as the Queen was. So, mm-hmm. You know, anybody can help lead. Because that's, I think you guys were talking about earlier, and I said that I wanted to be the employee of the people. Like, that's part A. Part two is leadership, is getting the best out of all the people. Like I said, Catherine DeSimone and Jay, and I'd love to have John do the small business incubator. I think he's phenomenal. I really like talking to him. He's really personable. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my thing would be to facilitate to get the best out of these folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about John being personal. He said today, it was a great line. Yeah. He said, I'm not somebody you invite to a party. I'm someone you call when you have a problem, which I thought was a great answer. He should use it as his slug line.
Yeah.
Well, there's one pressing question
that
I'm going to ask you that's been bothering everybody. Your family name is Baroni, and you call yourself Barone. And so all night, my wife, we watched the debate. My wife said, he said his name was Barone. Why are the kids keep calling him Baroni? So can you explain that?
I mean, I go by Baroni. So
But you said your name was Barone when you stepped up. And so my wife was going, what the hell's going on? Because she was concerned that a candidate's proper name wasn't being used during the debate.
Well, I know when I graduated, Bishop Family asked me that, and I was like, oh, whichever. I mean, it is. I think heritage is very important to me, but my thing is focused, was like that night, was on the debate. My tagline when I was getting all my signatures and docking on doors, I said, you know, vote for Baroni, don't forget about it. You know, so... I apologize to the Italian community if I didn't.
No, I just wanted to be called. I introduced you to Timothy Barone.
Okay.
But you would have said Baroni.
Yeah, I go Baroni. But
I'm
focused on the job at hand that I don't have a.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out because, you know, I want to show as much respect as I can for what's going on here.
Right.
And so this is interesting to me, this whole Scientology thing that I hadn't realized was a part of this.
A thing.
And that has its own PR problem, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I know I've met most of the stars out there. I met Tom Cruise the first week I was out there.
Yeah.
Or I always say he got to meet me.
Yeah,
it was very exciting for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've when people have asked me about that, I say that when people know how to do this, they go off and be Tom Cruise or Travolta. And a lot of people who are having, you know, don't quite have the 100% to apply it 100%, they go off and become staff. And 99.9% of the staff are great, but if one or two are broken and people bump into them and they're like, oh my God, that church is weird or strange or this, but it's only helped me, like it makes sense of things. And I also worked a bunch with Delphi Academy, if you ever heard of them. They're actually a Scientology school in Milton.
Oh yeah.
And the guy says, never let a person or individual or church like, you know, make you go away. Even, you know, same thing with Roman Catholicism. If you disagreed with an individual, you wouldn't leave all of a sudden, in my opinion, Roman Catholicism. You're based upon the precepts, the core precepts. Do they make sense? And they make you live better and hopefully help other people. And that's all it's supposed to do. And if it's not doing that, then it's not Scientology. Boom.
Right, So you're equating Roman Catholicism with Scientology?
Well, I'm just trying to use it as an example. There's people in, you know, Roman Catholicism, there's priests that did things that they weren't supposed to.
Sure.
And so my thing is, you wouldn't abandon the whole church or throw the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And so Scientology has its own interesting whatnot going on. And like I said, folks that really...
Tell me a little bit about the interesting going on. Explain that to me a little bit. If I come to you and you're going to tell me a little bit about it, give me a couple of basics. What am I going to get from Scientology that...
Sure. Well, I mean, the core is, the definition is, it's, writings and processes that you use to improve your life and the people around you's lives. And it, like I said, if it's not doing that, it's not defined as Scientology. Like, so folks say, like, oh, it's about donating money. It's about doing this. They have a lot of secular programs that they run to help folks, like with the volunteer ministers. That's something I was going to mention, too. There's this thing called volunteer ministers they did during the Haiti tsunamis and stuff. Is a lot of times where the Red Cross was leaving, the volunteer ministers coming, and it's just secular people. You know, they wore the yellow shirts. They also were there at 9/11. And we had a lot of some of the head firemen were like, yeah, as people were running away and just didn't know what to do, they were organizing. And they were trying to help the firemen do what they do best and just get them back into the fray so they could help try and find anybody who was in there 9/11. Mm-hmm. So ways back then. But the main thing, like I said, is if it's helping you and your family and your friends live better, then that's all it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's between you and whatever God you believe. That's why you don't have to change religions. If you're Muslim or if you're Jewish.
Do you think there's more than one God?
I mean, at least from what I've seen, is we just consider it infinity or something greater than ourselves, and mm-hmm. that we're connected to it.
The Force.
Right. Yeah, the Force, like Jedis. And like I said, anything, any religion or philosophy, I think, is really valid if it helps you handle between you and that spirituality. Because if your life's in order and your family's in order, you have a house, you have a job, you have this, and you can work in your city, I think you can be a lot more spiritual, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mean to make this a whole webinar about
it. No. It's to know who you are, because with respect, nobody knows who the hell you are compared to the people you're running against. Yeah. Not that that's good. It depends on who knows what they know about them.
Well, I mentioned that when I came in, that I'm kind of like Orson, trying to be like Orson Welles in The Third Man. You don't show up until the third act and everyone talks to you about it for two acts.
Oh, is that it? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Well, nobody mentioned you at all during the first three acts.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I did. Okay. And so other than the parking problem, what have you got to comment on with all of the other stuff going on in the city, like the size of trash bins?
Oh, yeah. It was interesting when I was getting my signatures. Some people like, why should I sign your signature? And I said, oh, I'll get you a bigger trash can. And people immediately, I don't know what your name is, they'll sign it. Now, the first day you can't.
And you told them that.
Right. I said, oh, I'll get you a trash can the first day.
Are you a member of the, are you a graduate of the George Santos Republican? No.
I,
you know George Santos?
I do. Yeah. I haven't followed too much. One thing.
Well, when you just promise something like that.
I do want to mention, too, that I, too, am unenrolled, that I was Republican for a while. I was Democrat. And I just find that both parties are fighting so much that you need to be in the center. And like that's, like I said, that's why I went to both conventions. And then over the pandemic, I went to over 10 different major political conventions. And because I work for a company called GoUSA, and we're a nonpartisan political rating score. And we talked to Matt Gaetz. We interviewed everybody. I talked, Maura Healey. I was at her party at the Democratic convention, and someone's like, you can't be here. You're a Republican. I said, no, I'm not. I want to hear all the speeches. I want to hear both sides. And that both sides, interestingly enough, just when I noticed both sides, this isn't meant to be too graphic, but they're like, Democrats were like, Republicans are trying to kill your kids. And then Republicans are like, the Democrats are trying to kill your kids. One's for vaccines, one for firearms. And it's just like, I don't know why there isn't more Republicans at the Democratic conventions, even just stealing ideas. So that's why I don't really care where I get the ideas. I want to be the citizen mayor for Attleboro and then use all the benefits of, like I said, all the candidates. I hope they'd be very involved with the government, no matter who wins.
Do you know much about government structure, the city council, how it works, who goes, where a bill goes, who does it, and all of that jazz?
I've been involved with, I'd mentioned at the debates at Amgen and all these major companies, and they you have to get things done, projects, policies through. Now there's the mechanics of it, and I would definitely go to people who know, like, Kathleen seems to know Jay, and I've just been attending meetings and watching a lot on Zoom. And I think the important thing is all these positions should be able to be run by citizens. and there is mechanics to it. But there's, you know, Virginia is at the city hall. She helped me a lot with the admin administration of getting all my signatures done, and it's just getting to all the right people. So, yeah, the mechanics I can learn more about, but I've been watching enough that I feel confident that I can handle that with the good people we already have.
Do you think you have a good shot?
I know he's been in the news for the last couple of years, but Elon says, you know, you got to do something, even whether you have a good shot or not. And he said that about the electric car, and he said that about rockets.
Talk about Elon Musk.
Musk. He said, you know, that like I said, whether you have a great shot of doing it or not. Now, I also said that, hey, maybe I'll make these other candidates look great by contrast or vice versa. I think it's better to have more people in the discussion within reason. You know, you wouldn't want to have 10. Mm-hmm. I thought there was going to be like 10 candidates. But right now there's four. I think there's, you know, I think we all have something to say and something to contribute. And I think no matter what happens, I hope we all contribute that to the city.
I just saw a piece of Elon Musk. He's now in the Guinness Book of Records for having lost the most amount of money any human being has ever lost in the history of the world.
Well, he's definitely an interesting guy. I read the biography on him, and I think, yeah, I don't think he's really super concerned about that. I think he's got to do okay.
I don't think we'll be taking up any collection forms.
Right.
When you're talking about your business, you talked about a checklist.
Right.
What is this checklist you're talking about?
Well, that was what was found. And it's, like I said, it's used at the Delphi Academy in Milton, and all the schools use what's called applied scholastic. So I'm actually applied
Applied what?
Applied scholastic. It's a secular group that just applies, and like I said, just mentioning it to him might be too inflammatory, but Mr. Hubbard, he has a lot of stuff on how to study. He said that, you know, he was trying to create counselors and people couldn't study, so he created a whole what's called study tech. And like I said, applied scholastics. I was out in Hollywood. There's a program called Hollywood Education and Literacy Program, and we take someone K-12. Anybody comes in, they get tested, they find out what grades level they're at, and then you put them on a check sheet, which is like you have a list of 20 or 30 things. And that way you can go at your own speed, because the problem is if you have 30 people in a class and there's someone slower and there's someone faster, you know, people get left behind or disenfranchised. This way with the check sheet, you start everyone together. It's like, okay, go find your course, start your check sheet, and a person can take an hour on one thing, or they could take 10 minutes, and they can go through the course in 2 days, or it might take them 2 weeks. And so that way it goes at their own pace and they don't miss anything, because as we talked about, a lot of students going through school and they come out and they can take tests, but they can't get a job, or they just can't hold a job down because they've missed 30% of what they need to know, because they're passed up with a C or a B. So that's at least why I ascribe to the check sheet program.
Yeah. Now you referenced Mr. Hubbard. You're talking about L. Ron Hubbard, who was the founder of Scientology.
Yeah.
And he was a science fiction writer.
Right. That's how he paid for all that.
And so the question comes.
Yeah.
What are his qualifications on this? This is all his concepts based on what?
Well, he was actually part of the Explorers Club in New York City, and he was trying to figure out what's the most dangerous thing when you explore. Is it a person? Is it a piece of equipment? You know, if you're climbing a mountain and you're all tied together, what is it? And he said he figured out it was that one loose, crazy person in your group that gets everyone killed. Or hurt. You know, like I said, if you're all tied together and someone just broke up with their girlfriend, they just, I want to jump off. So that's what it was. The first thing he wrote, and he wasn't trying to create a church or anything. It was called Terra Incognita. He said, what's going
on? What is it?
The article that he wrote for Science Fiction Magazine.
Talking a little fast. That's why I'm asking you to repeat.
Yeah, so it was for, I forget exactly the Science Fiction Magazine, but he wrote a thing called Terra Incognita, the unknown lands. And he said it was your mind that if a person isn't mentally together, you can't have them on a group. Either you have to fix them so that they're a good part of the group, or you put them off to the side and say, okay, maybe next time. And that's where he gets started with everything. So as far as I know, all the research I've done, he wasn't trying to create any massive group or following. He just was trying to see, like, the things he was doing, science fiction and exploring. Like I said, he held the New York Explorers Club flag three times, which means, you know, you put in a request. He's like, I'm going to go study the coast of Alaska, and they said, "Okay, you're our explorer," and he did that three times, and then it just took off from there. So that's why, like I said, he was doing all the counseling, and then he found that people couldn't learn things. So that's why we went backwards. I remember I was in LA, And I talked to a girl that worked at the Universal City Walk, and she's like, oh, those crazy, see, Scientologists, like, they stare at you and they can read your mind. And I'm like, wow, I want to take that course. And then she's like, well, but their education is really good. Like I said, the Delphi Academy, if you went there, there's no, I'd been asked to possibly work there. It's a great company, great group. Like I said, they just help students K through 12 get through and learn so they can apply and be very valuable citizens of the their cities. You know, mm-hmm. like not, yep. they don't want to come out with a degree and then like, okay, what now? So mm-hmm. there's that. So hopefully I answered some of that. And I didn't mean to make this all about Scientology.
Well, no, I mean,
but it's unique.
We can make it about anything you want because we have been talking about the city and you don't seem to have, you have the parking issue.
Right.
And you don't seem to have a real good grasp on how it works within counseling. So whatever you'd like to tell us about being mayor or anything else is fine.
Sure.
But I'm just kind of digging in here.
Yeah. One of the key things I brought up about the parking, I know it's not the only issue that I have with the city, but it's the one I harp on because there's a guy named T. Harvey Eckert, who's a writer who wrote, he's a motivational speaker called The Millionaire Mind. And he says, how you do anything is how you do everything. So
you said that to me on the phone the other night. How you do anything is how you do everything. Explain that. I mean,
just my understanding is specific to the city, is if we're going to pass a 67% increase on parking, and yes, I was told by Mayor Herro, well, we did everything by the books. But by the books put, you know, something, a little advertisement in the back of Sun Chronicle, which is great, and they put something on the window. And I think something so massive, if it's going to affect people in such a manner, that could happen to any program. You know, that if it's not being followed through, that the people it's going to affect aren't notified. Like I said, any person I spoke to in the parking lot said, yeah, I live next door. I have no place else to park, and I can't afford this. I'm only make 20 or 30 grand a year.
You make a good point about the parking problem. Yeah. I mean, the pricing especially.
Right.
Got my attention right away. I don't live here, and I don't have to deal with primarily. But that was interesting. And his response, the former mayor's response, well, you could sue us.
Yeah.
I mean, did your Scientology background make you understand that you were being puffed off?
I know. I mean, I mean, for me, I didn't feel that way. He actually sat, we stood in the hallway of City Hall, and he talked to me for 40 minutes. And that's one thing I'd worked I mean, but like he wasn't trying to convince me one way there. I think he was honestly trying to listen to me, although I'm not, I felt he was trying to give me the options, like without, because, you know, another mayor might be like, well, I know, I think, like I said, that is an option. You can sue the city if someone, if the city does something really.
Another mayor might have tried to do something about it before that, before you walked in.
Well, I mean, just to be fair, he also said, oh, go to the committee of the whole, like bring this to the committee. And so that's what I did, I think 2 weeks later. And I did bring it to the committee. And I know they have, that's one reason I wanted to run too, is because
it's. You're talking about the city council?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's easy to criticize folks.
Yeah.
But when you're on the inside and they're getting barraged, and people just show up with this one issue or two issues, and they're like, why isn't the city doing anything about it? And I said this quote earlier, is that, you know, that people say, oh, some government agency should do something, some group, somebody's got to fix this. And well, the only person who can fix it is you.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that's a Mr. Hubbard quote, so.
Yes, I know.
Oh, yeah, because I said it before.
No, I do a little reading myself periodically.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, once in a while.
Yeah.
Mostly the books I have. You have to stay inside the lines when you're caller.
You've learned a book on occasion.
Once in a while, yeah, thank you. So your candidacy, I mean, you really don't want to be the mayor, do you?
Oh, no, I do. I mean,
well, you've heard the other three people today. I mean, these people, you know, they have a goal. They have
a career,
a process, a concept that they want to, not careers. These people have other jobs. Oh, I did anyway.
I'm a political outsider. I want to be the citizen mayor.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm just trying to understand
what
it is. So you really want to be the mayor?
Oh, yeah.
You want to close your business and go?
Yeah. Well, I'll delegate, give it to someone else and be City Hall. And, you know, I might stumble here and there, but I was told after the debates on Wednesday, I had like about 10 or 15 people came up and said, you know, you might have stumbled. You might not have done a lot of debates out in front of us, but it seemed like you want to be here for the right reasons.
So I totally think that you have your own, your reasons are positive
right.
reasons and good reasons.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind
right. yeah.
that you want to improve things
yeah.
and make it better for people, especially the people you talked about with the parking to start with
yeah.
is a good point. I just meant that, you know, politics and mm-hmm. elections, I mean, it's a blood sport.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, over the last 3 years during the pandemic, I've been to 10 different massive conventions in Washington, D.C., working with YAF. I don't know if you know those guys. The Young Americans Foundation, they own the Reagan Ranch.
Okay. Yeah.
And they do tours, and I think Scott Walker is the president there. But on both sides of the aisle, I just want to be able to be a leader. And if you're running a company and the city you're in or the state you're in vastly affects that company, it's almost by responsibility. You have to start from the top down so you can run your companies and have a good family. You know, if your family's at the whim of a city or a state that could change fines or fees, like I said, change the property tax by 67% and people leave. And that's why I think we need more business here. And I was here as a child during, you know, when we had London's downtown and we had all these, you know, jewelry and manufacturing. And I don't know if it could wave a wand and get that all back, but I'd want to use that vision to try and show how great Attleboro has been in the past and take it to the next level. You know, mm-hmm. I think I'll do a little bit better than we're doing now. And I'd like
yeah.
to bring that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like, you know, well, you're laughing.
I'm looking at a bullet point, and I do want to also make sure our fifth candidate, Spooky's voice, is heard.
Spooky? Who's Spooky?
Spooky the cat that tried to run for mayor.
I'm not familiar with that. Who is that?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Well, what's a small business? And I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but they're a small business that just moved into downtown, Spooky Games. And I spoke to the owners a bit, but I think...
And what do they do?
Well, they went. They run a gaming store, so you can go in and play games and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, yeah, right down at... right across from Jay Kaufman Kloss's office.
Oh, yeah, all right.
So, and I say that jokingly, but they are a small business that should be heard. And I feel, and I mentioned in the debate, that the city isn't designed to say, if you come in and start a business, we're going to back you up for the next 5 or 10 years. And you're going to feel that you can flourish and prosper in our town. And it's kind of like, yeah, where you said that. They should be able to have years of ability to be in the downtown and be facilitated by the government. And
sounds like with John mentioning about putting in having a business and had a company with a general receptionist and have
right.
offices and things like that. That kind of support you're talking yeah. about where entrepreneurs get a chance to get
right.
a leg up.
Right, they get the service facilities they need.
Yeah.
And I actually did that out in L.A. There was right in the center of a lot of the buildings that they'd use for TV shows, even like the show Castle and stuff. Like, there's this massive, like, 50-story mm-hmm. building, and I got an office for a while. And that's what they had, is they had, you know, meeting center, they had a receptionist, and then you can use there as a mailing address, and you just have one office. So that's important, that we should be starting the business from scratch. And anybody who wants to start a business has an idea, should want to start it, and they should want to start in Attleboro.
Mm. Mm. Cool. I didn't ask you, by the way. Are you married?
Not at this time. I've had offers.
Okay.
I usually check.
I wasn't proposing. I just.
Oh, well, you seem like a nice guy.
Yeah, hell of a dancer.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I. You're not married.
No. I've had offers, yeah. But I have like a friend or two at Harvard that I'm and connected to a lot that. It could be more of something. We'll see. But my focus has always been.
Are you straight?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I'm trying to figure out because I mean,
yeah, yeah.
You said a friend or two and.
I didn't mean to play the they-them game.
No, it doesn't matter. I didn't. I'm just asking because as a background, you don't have any kids.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And you live in, obviously you live in Attleboro,
yes.
but I mean...
Well, I do a bunch of work right now in Tewksbury, but I live in Attleboro.
Okay.
So obviously when I get elected mayor, I'll spend all my time here.
Is this the same work you're doing in Attleboro and Tewksbury? Is it different?
Well, Tewksbury is the Go USA, which is it's a nonprofit working to maybe go into a profit political rating score system. It's like Rotten Tomatoes for politicians, you know, and the byline is it's not left versus right, it's not red versus blue. It's them versus you. because it really, we don't care if a Democrat gets elected or an independent or a Libertarian or Republican. They should be working for us. And if they're not working for us, they're tyrants.
No, that, and that, that's a volunteer job? Or you?
Yeah, mostly volunteer. Okay. And so we go trips to Washington. We have booths at all these conventions, whether Democrat or Republican, and we're just trying to interview everybody. And yeah, like I said, we helped over 50 races get won, especially, you know, by a very small margin. These races were won, and we feel like we helped them. The folks who are working for us is a rating system of 5-star plus or negative 5-star. Like both Reagan and JFK gets like a 4, 4.5 or so. So it didn't matter. They just need to be working for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're doing that too.
Yeah.
Right. And do you have a job that brings in money?
I mean, I have. Like I said, I do the courses and stuff like that, and. My main focus is
but you have your own money.
Yeah.
So. No, it's fine. To me sound like intrusive questions, but you know, you're asking to be the mayor, and so people need to know who you are. You know, they're gonna say, oh, I'm gonna vote for Baroni, and they say, oh yeah, what's he got? I don't know. You know, that's not good.
He promised
for
me
you.
Big trash can, so I think.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right. I put my life in. And so. I'm going to do with you, of course, what I've done for the others. Is there anything particular, any points you haven't gotten to yet, or other things you want to say before we wrap?
Well, two things that did come up is the pictures with Jay Delisio. I thought that was totally inappropriate. I mean, I, you know.
In what way? What do you mean? What was totally inappropriate?
Well, I'm a big proponent that they should put the stocks back in all the cities. That, I don't know if you know the stockade where they put people on.
You're talking about the Plymouth, like in Plymouth.
Right. And, that was for gossipers. And I feel like unless they went to Jay and said, hey, we're going to show these pictures, what do you have to say about it first? It's what's called, and this is a Scientology thing, ethics gradients. If you have a problem with someone, you go to them first.
Well, they already did. They did that.
Did they go to? I mean, did they go to Jay? They said, "Hey, Jay, we're going to send this to the Sun Chronicle."
Yes, of course. They called him and they said, "We got this picture in. We want you to ask." He actually had posted the picture himself, and they called him and said, "Look, this is." And he replied, and they ran his reply at the same time.
But also, he's. I mean, the person is still anonymous, right? That supposedly sent it in.
Yeah, it's America.
I agree with America. Let's
I mean the thing. Why? Who would you put in stocks?
Well, like I said, if they didn't.
No, based on this issue, who would you? Put
I didn't. In I didn't like whoever's being anonymous. They shouldn't be anonymous.
Why?
I think they have. They have. Someone has.
Well, it's cowardly. Certainly. But. Then you can go to the whistleblowers. How about whistleblowers? How about people who know that the O-ring, as an example, was very bad and caused, you know, the rocket to blow up? I mean, should we have whistleblowers if you can't have an anonymity?
I think we should have a society that people, if there is a problem, they should be able to come out and they should have their name. They should be able to be confronted with who's saying bad things about you. You know, and it's like I said, I think it's very cowardly. If I have a problem with, you know, anybody, I would go to them first. And if they're just, if that's not in the open, then they become, I think, like, and it might be a harsh word, treasonous to our group, you know, the city, if they're not actually going to jail.
Yeah, but you understand that people need, unfortunately, feel the need to stay protected. They want to protect themselves and their family because the alternative is to be quiet. All that is necessary for evil to exist is for good people to do nothing. And going, psst, psst, look at this, is doing something.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I think that was scumbucket stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all in the same,
right.
It's all the same.
To me, that's the problem we need to solve, though, that people should be able to come out and be protected and not be attacked for whistleblowing.
Yeah, and I think if that were the case, there wouldn't be any need for whistleblowers because we would all not have the problem we had to begin with.
Problem solved.
There you go.
What else you got?
I knew you could wrap this. I said to my wife this morning, he has the answer, this guy. I know it. He's going to have it straightened out for us.
We're going to Target, too. We'll help Mansfield.
So what was the other thing? So you were talking about the picture.
The other thing was that came up with when they talked about Kathleen and sexuality. My CEO had been running for different positions. I do marketing consulting, and they asked him what is his sexuality. It's like, what kind of job is this? has nothing to do with the job. I mean,
I agree, but the prejudices in the world, in our world,
right,
are such, and the reason that Kathleen's been out for
right.
years,
yeah.
but she was attacked on Facebook,
right.
as she said, as an it,
which is not okay, yeah.
And also part of that, and one of the things that bothered me, or I've been thinking about, I don't know how it bothers me, but like with Maura Healey,
yeah.
first lesbian female governor,
right.
you know, first, of course, first, you know, and I asked that wondering, when are we going to, like you say, when is that not going to be an issue?
Right.
Who gives a good diddly? Got nothing to do with me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but the reality within the society right now is it's always mentioned. It's
right.
always brought up. And I think it's a double-edged sword. One is that's irritating to have happen. The other thing is the more you see it and hear it, the more it just gets accepted.
Yeah,
who cares?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
we train ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's
right?
the start of it now that we're saying who cares now.
Yeah,
I think
exactly. Except people still do, and people still write foolish crap, you know, and this is a way to protect ourselves from this ignorance.
Right.
Hopefully, eventually.
Exactly.
That I think that's a...
That's what we're going for, because it should be just based on the issues and what can you bring to the table. And I think Kathleen mentioned it too. It's not about what we say we're going to do. It's about a person's actions. You judge people, you know, what they do, because you can say everything in the world, but if you don't follow up with some actions, then it's worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me look at my list if I have.
Yeah. Look at the other list.
Let's see.
You've been in radio. You can bang a microphone
exactly.
like anybody.
Well, the other thing that came up too was the NIP issue.
Yes.
I was actually part of MassPurg, which actually started the bottle bill and a lot of the recycling. And I think that's key is if they did the, you know, a couple cents return, we get them off our streets. And I think any company or group that produces a lot of litter, and it's not saying that they're going out throwing trash, are the ones that should be punished. Or not punished, but the ones that are held accountable for it. Like if a fast food restaurant, all their stuff is found all over the city, then you say, well, you can't do that anymore, or you have to get your clientele to stop doing that. And one of the ways, you know, is recycling on the NIPS. And then the if that was working, then you know, the liquor stores could still sell that product.
Okay.
But until that time, you know, it's like if it's trashing our city. I've walked up and down North Main Street, and I've picked up trash all over town. That's one of the things in Scientology to mention. Why don't you go out and do some community service? And I've probably collected over like 4,000 bags of trash, just because it's amazing when you clean up one little neighborhood, what it does to the neighborhood. I used to leave one bit of trash in front of someone if I see them, and literally when I walk past, they'd pick up that trash and they're like, hey, look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to get people involved.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Let's see.
I'm trying to get you. I've got about a minute left.
Oh, let's see. Best part of talking to me. Well, I know when the best part of this so far was really talking to the folks. Is it did feel like 70% didn't have a voice, or they really perked up when they could finally kind of quote unquote complain to someone. It's like, why hasn't this been handled? So that any of these topics should be either handled or fully explained, so people aren't upset about it, constantly walking around with this upset in their life, and that we should have, you know, 100% of our folks involved in the city versus 20 or 30%. If you looked at the Sun Chronicle articles, it's only like 20 to 30% that might vote for mayor. We should have 100% as possible.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So just vote for Timothy Barone for mayor February 28th, 2023, and don't forget about it.
And there you go. Don't forget about it. Do you know where you are on the list? Are they doing it alphabetically? Do you know whether on the ballot yet?
There's going to be a...
A drawing.
That's right.
Yeah, we had the people on, and I forgot. Well, thanks for coming in. It was nice meeting with you.
Okay, appreciate it.
When the bell rings, go to geography. We'll be all set.
Thanks again. Am I late? Okay. I need to get a pass.
Yeah. I'll write you a pass.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it. We've got more to say. Well, actually, we've got a goodbye to say, and I can't wait to do it. I'm going to let Mr. Barone leave. And then it's my turn to speak to you.